the name of Jesus Christ, please be seated. Please be seated. Wonderful. Great to be with you here this morning. December the 20th, 2009. Wow. So Christ hasn't come back this year yet. He's got a few days, hopefully. But if not, we've got 2010 to look forward to, or any day, right? Any moment he's coming back. This morning, I'd like to talk with you about a subject that everybody, and I'm virtually, this is true, everybody's going to be operating, doing, this time of the year especially, and that is giving. And what I want to share with you is the art of true giving. With the Christmas season, everybody's looking around for what can I give my relatives, my loved ones, friends, and so forth. But giving, isn't that something? And I think this works within everybody's, around the world, no matter what your culture, your background, your training, when you give somebody something, you feel good. I got a thank you response. And I feel good because I gave somebody something. I don't know, it's in the nature of man that when he gives something, he feels good about it, right? Isn't it amazing how people are like that? I mean, now I know some people are into taking, and rarely do they give. But when they do give, there's that good feeling, that warm glow. So, you know what I would like to do, and I'd like to have a great hot glow this morning along with Glenn and Paula, because they want to give you, each and every one of you, a gift. And we're going to do that right now. So, Glenn, Paula, if you could, they have a gift for you, each and every person. This is a Starbucks complimentary coffee or whatever drink you would like, I think, isn't it? So they're going to pass those out. Make sure you all get one. Isn't that wonderful? You know, God is never late. In preparation for this particular fellowship, I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great to have something to give to everybody there to illustrate a little bit about giving. And I just, thank you. And I just didn't come up with anything. And I talked with Al and had him pray about it. And he didn't really, you know, come up with anything. And so 10 minutes before the fellowship, Glenn came up to me and said, hey, I've got a pocket full of these Starbucks tickets. Can we give them out or something? And I said, man, you are an answer to prayer. God is never late. So thank you very much, Glenn and Paula. He is never late. Isn't that something? You know, God created man, and in man he created his nature. And generally, it's the nature of man when he gives that he feels good about what he gave. And God is all about giving, isn't he? He just gives. His grace, his mercy is manifested in his giving. You know, you don't see a scripture where it says, God so loved the world that he took. No, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. And isn't that wonderful? He gives unconditionally and with great abundance. Let's go to John 3:16, perhaps the most familiar verse in the Bible to most folks. So John 3:16, let's look at it in the Word of God. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this one verse, we can see the elements or the format, if you will, of giving, the art of true giving. Because the art of true giving has a beginning. It has a beginning. And there's a purpose, generally, for giving. All right? So, in the beginning, you have something that motivates you in the beginning, right? A motivation and a purpose, and then you give. You know, you let go and pass that gift along. And then afterwards, the end of that giving, there's a thankfulness. Usually it's the person that receives it, right? There's a thankfulness. And also there's a great feeling inside after you've given something. It's amazing. And also with the things of God, when you give, God blesses you back manyfold. Oh, yes. That's the truth of God's Word. We're talking about the art of true giving here. And we see that here in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. What is His motivation to give? His Son. Love. The greatest motivation in the world is God's love. And He was motivated with His love to give. And the purpose was that man could have what? Eternal life. Eternal life. Wow, pretty neat. So all true giving should be motivated by love and needs to have a purpose, a blessing, a purpose to bless with the intended result. In other words, if giving is motivated by love with a godly purpose, the results will be thanksgiving by those who receive. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What a great subject here to get into, especially at this time of the year. For us as born-again ones, that we could have a wonderful perspective of true giving. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9. Let's start at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So there's an end when after the giving, whatever it is, little or small or big or large, there's going to be a blessing coming back. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. There's a purpose. When you give, there's a purpose in it. In his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So what kind of giver does God love? A cheerful giver. In the Greek, the word cheerful is hilaros, where we get the English word transliterated from the Greek, hilarious, right? Hilarity. The same where we get that from this Greek word, hilarious. And I was looking at a study where this word, and I'm not too sure on this as far as how it works, but my understanding was that it connects with the Hebrew word that means a shining, a cheerfulness, a beaming. You're just shining. You're glowing. And that's what this means. God loves a cheerful giver, one that just loves to give, that is just of great heart. So this we learn in this, right? Okay, so what I'm sharing here from God's Word is something we want to plug into our life and manifest. So when we give, we don't want to give grudgingly. I got to get old Grandma Moses something. Well, is that cheerful giving? Man, I love Grandma Moses. I want to bless her so much. What can I do here? Yeah. God's going to help me out, I'm sure. We'll bless her real big. Attitude's everything, isn't it? What's our attitude? Yeah. Yeah, you got to have a great attitude. And it needs to be one of cheerfulness. And look at this verse 8. And God is able to make all grace. Okay, on the receiving end, after we give, there's going to be a blessing coming back. And how big could that blessing be? Well, how big is God? God is able to make all grace abound toward who? You. That you always, not sometimes, not maybe, but always having a little bit of sufficiency. No, all sufficiency in all things, in everything, every aspect and category of life may abound to every good work. Boy, this is our loving Heavenly Father. Wow. Wonderful. Let's jump down to, there's a parenthesis, verse 9 and 10, and or was it 8? No, it starts at 9, verse 10 as well. Let's go to verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So what does this cause, all this great bountifulness? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I'll tell you this right now, and this is the synopsis of the whole teaching here. If you get this, you know, I'm a happy camper here as a teacher. If you are thankful all the time, if you just have an attitude, you're thankful. You know, even though you have a flat tire, you still, well, I'll get it fixed, but man, I'm thankful I'm a son of God. I'm thankful that Christ is coming back at any time. I'm thankful that I can speak in tongues and talk with my Father directly. I'm thankful for the fellowship of believers. I'm thankful that God could probably bring somebody by here and help me fix it. If somebody has a great thankful attitude, I just know they're probably a great giver. They recognize the value of giving. So, boy, if you're a giver, a cheerful giver, and have thankfulness in your heart, I know you're just living life to the full. You're tapped in. You got it together. All right, let's move on here. But there's some things, more stuff that we can learn here, maybe to help us develop this great attitude. Now, man's giving. What motivates man to give many times? Obligation, getting something in return. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. I'll give you a gift if you give me a gift. You know, isn't it like this in Christmas? You give somebody a gift and then they don't give you one. How do you feel? Well, I gave you one. What kind of, you know, is that the art of true giving? No. No. The art of true giving originated by God. It is motivated first and foremost by love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're in the neighborhood here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter what? 13. Because you can be a great doer in life, a great giver in life. You can be a great speaker in tongues person. You could have the gift of prophecy. You could understand all mysteries. You can have all knowledge. You can have great believing to move mountains and throw them into the Pacific Ocean, in the waters. But if I don't have the love of God, I what? I have nothing. Verse 3, look at verse 3. I kind of paraphrased the first couple verses. Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. I mean, what a great act of giving. To give all my goods, everything that I have, I give it to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned. You know how people burn themselves out for a cause. They just go, go, go. They're up all night, all day. They just get something done. They have a cause, and we're going to get it done. We're going to be successful here. If I give my body to be burned and have not what? Charity, the love of God. The love of God. The great love of God. When you're born again, you receive the love of God, don't you? You have the capacity to love like God loved. You have the capacity to love as God did when He said He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hey, if you had a son, would you give him over to be tortured, to be beat up, to be so worked over you couldn't recognize him as a human, and see him crucified and die the most gruesome death you could? Would you do that as a father? Would you have your son do that? No way. No way. God did. Why did he do that? What motivated him? Love you and I, with the hope that people would get born again and become his children. He wanted more than one. He had a great one in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wanted many, many more children. And that's why he gave like that. Man, oh man. Because of love. And this is what we want to work in our heart. And where does it say the love of God is shed abroad in our heart? Romans 5. Romans 5. I'm pretty sure it's right there. Romans 5. Romans 5. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. It's flooded. The Greek word means just flooded in there. In our hearts by what? The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. You get born again of God's Spirit. You get born again of that Spirit, and you receive everything, everything, all your sonship rights via the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, oh man. So we have the capacity to love. We have that capacity to love. Thanksgiving. Let's go to back to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Let's go back to that great section in chapter 9. Because at the end of giving, motivated by love, there's thanksgiving. And boy, this is a big part of this whole subject of the art of true giving. But verse 11, we read this, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us, what? Thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. Boy, I mean, that love of God in our heart, and then this attitude of thanksgiving. Always thankful, because God is so rich and bountiful. He's given us so much, and we, no matter how bad the day is, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? So what do we want to focus in? The spiritual realities that are eternal, or what's happening moment by moment? So, boy, through thanksgiving of God. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by what? Many thanksgivings unto God. Many thanksgivings unto God. Maybe that's a key here. If we have this attitude of thankfulness, that this will just open the door for God to bless us back, right? We're just so thankful. We're so grateful. And God responds in kind to that. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Great section in here. And this is really, you know, practical application time, isn't it? Because the goal is, my heart's desire is for you when you leave today that you've got something more. Your life, your heart's been enriched with a little bit of God's Word, a little bit more, so that you can act on it. Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. Well, chapter 2 in Colossians, verse 6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. We walk in Him. We walk as a son of God with power. Hey, who was the greatest giver in the whole world outside of God? Jesus Christ. Boy, was he a giver. Oh my God, give. That's all he did was give, give, give. Wow. Did he see many signs, wonders, and miracles? Did he see a lot of people delivered? Yes. It's connected to that giving, isn't it? Wow. All right, so we want to walk like him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Rooted. You know, put those roots down. I got that big ficus tree in the front of my house. Man, and those roots, I had to dig out that part in the driveway because it was busting up my driveway. Oh, my. It took us weeks and weeks and weeks to get those roots out because, boy, that tree is rooted. And it's going nowhere. That's where we want to be. We want to be rooted in those things that are Christ, Christ in us. All the reality, all our sonship rights, who we are in Christ, we want to be rooted so that we won't budge on God's word. We won't budge as a son of God. Rooted. Okay. And built up. Root, got your foundation. Now you build up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. And then what's the next words? Abounding. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's why I say, boy, if you just got a thankful heart, you know, I meet somebody who has that, just always thankful, I know they're living life full and rich. Because they got the right perspective. They got the right that right attitude of heart and mind. Well, true giving is free to the receiver. No strings attached. No, you know, Glenn and Paula, they gave those little gift drinks, Starbucks gift drinks. No strings. They don't expect anything back at all. They are just so blessed to do that. Nothing, don't do anything. Now, if you say, well, I think many of you probably said thank you, right? I mean, and that's good. That's right. That's part of the art of the true giving, is being thankful. But when you give, it's free. It's given freely. God so graciously and lovingly gave with no payments required. God's greatest gift was free to us. Unfortunately, it cost him his son, but it's free to us. Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There it is. No strings attached. When we give, no strings attached. We just give and let go, and we're thankful. That's it. If we don't hear anything back, that's fine with us because we got blessed because we gave. Freely gave. And boy, look, God wants us to recognize this. That he's still in the giving business. Now that he gave his son, he didn't stop giving. Boy, he's in the giving business. And we need to tap into that and recognize that. He wants us blessed so much. And when we act like him, become imitators of him, then we're going to be givers too. And we're going to get back. I don't know how many people are born again. Would you say a million, couple million, 10, 20, 30 million people maybe? Let's just say 50 million people. God gave his son. How many people are born again now? 50 million. That's quite a ratio. Quite a ratio. God's got a big family. Wow. Let's look at Romans 3:24. This mindset, this attitude of freely giving is part of this art of true giving. Romans 3:24. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Pretty neat. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 1. The most awesome compliment a father could ever receive is if his children imitate him. Oh, man. Yeah, I just, you know, when my kids do something that kind of like I do, that's good. I mean, I'm not perfect, and there's a lot of, hopefully they can distinguish the good and the bad. But, boy, you just feel great, don't you, as a parent, those of you who have children and stuff, man? And look what this says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God. And the word followers in the Greek is mimetes, is that right? Some of you that know that? Being imitators of God. 5:1. Yeah, mimetes in the Greek. And so we're imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love. Yeah, imitators of God. That's what we want to be, as dear children, imitators of Him. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. See, this is what we want to do. We want to imitate our Father and be a giver like He is. Yes, we do. Let's go to 1 Kings, if you would. Let's take a look in the Old Testament at 1 Kings chapter 3. While you're going there, I'll share with you briefly. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received. What is the rest of it? Freely give. Freely you have received. Now how do we give? Freely. Freely. There was a great man who had to take on being the king after David. And what a responsibility did he have to do this job. And this king had an opportunity to talk to the Heavenly Father about this situation. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, we see Solomon. We know about Solomon, don't you? All right. Well, here in the beginning of being the king, he had a conversation with God. And this is what, and not looking at the whole thing there, because God opened the door for him to have whatever, you know, a freebie. Whatever you want. And this is what he said in verse 9. Give therefore thy servant. This is Solomon speaking to God. Give therefore my servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Isn't that wonderful? What a great heart. Was he thinking about himself? Was he thinking about, you know, would God supply me the best chariots in town? Could I get the best house? No. How could I help my people? And so what happened? I think you all know the story, don't you? Where God not only gave him that wisdom and ability to discern, but also showered him with great riches also. That's God's nature. So when you give and you get blessed back, don't expect God to just give you a little bit. Don't be surprised that He just floods you with it. That's His nature, isn't it? All bountifulness. Man, oh man. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. A fulfilling life is that of a giver. If you want to live a life of fulfillment, you'll be a giver and you'll be thankful. That's it. You know, it's interesting, in the world, people have tapped into this. You know, you can see positive attitude books, and there's all kinds of, you know, quotes of people, great people, successful people that realize how important giving is. And just a couple of them I'll share with you. Winston Churchill of Great Britain, during the World War II, he was the instrumental leader of England at that time. But he made this quote: "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." Isn't that neat? If there be any truer measure of a man than what he does, it must be by what he gives. And the world may measure by what you get, but the Word of God, or God, measures you by what you give. In the proper context there, you've got to understand that. And then Luke 6:38, I'll quote this for you. And this, just again, this is not man. Let me shift to God, back to God here. We'll give man a few minutes here, what he says. But Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." This is the results of giving here. "When you give, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." The great verse of giving. Okay, we're at Acts, right? Acts 20. I'll get there in a second. This is a meeting where, I think it's in Ephesus, where Paul gathers the fellowship leaders and shares with them, teaches them. And there's some neat things that he shares with them. Verse 28, first, he shares, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost God hath made you overseers." He's talking to those who oversee fellowship, the believers, "to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." That shows how valuable we all are. Verse 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to make, to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities." You know, he worked. If he had to work, he went into an area and they didn't give him money to take care of his needs. He worked. If the people blessed him with money, then he was fine. "And to them that were with me, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus." Here he's going to quote Jesus Christ. And what was it? How he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." This in a leader's meeting, an important message. And for us too, I think we can learn from this. It is more important to give than to receive. Pretty neat. To have a fulfilling life as a son of God, we want to become great, great givers. We want to become cheerful givers. The art of true giving is one that each and every born-again one should want to perfect in their lives. It makes for the most fulfilling life a person could ever live. As someone once said, "You measure wealth not by the things you have, but by the things you have for which you would not take money." Think about that. What do you have that you, if somebody gave you $1 million, you wouldn't give it up? What do you have that's worth so much to you, you wouldn't take money for it? Holy Spirit? Eternal life? Somebody give you $200 million, for eternal life, would you sell it? No way. No way. Fellowship with God. We have fellowship. We can talk directly with Him, right? Would you want somebody to buy that from you? No way. No way. So we are very rich, aren't we? Not, you know, by possessions. It's by the spiritual reality of Christ within and who we are as sons of God. Wow. In review, at the beginning of the art of true giving, there is a motivation, right? And that motivation is the love of God. The love of God. There's also purpose in the act of giving, to bless others, to give to others. Then there's the act itself of letting go, giving. And in the end, there is the blessing back that God gives, and there's the thankfulness. The thankfulness. A wonderful believer once said, if there is great thankfulness abounding in one's life, they are practicing the principles of giving. Kind of paraphrases what I was saying a little bit earlier. So my encouragement to you today is, let's practice the art of true giving. Let's rise above the world and the attitudes we have around us, especially this time of the year. And let's be true givers. Let's be ones that are motivated by the love of God, to have purpose, to really bless people. And we just give. We give. And we have a thankful heart for what we have been given, don't we? Yeah, amen. That's great. Well, Heavenly Father, we're very, 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 very thankful for how rich we are in Christ. And Father, I'm thankful that we can imitate you, that we can recognize and see in your word how to truly give. And we're thankful that we can live like this, Father, such a fulfilling life as givers and with living in thankfulness. So we sure love you, Father, and thank you for the privilege of being born again and having fellowship with you for eternity. So I just pray for each and every heart here, for the word that I trust that's been sown in their heart, so that we can just grow and be rooted in the things of God, and that we can just move out your word, Father, big time. And I just pray for some great open doors here to move your word to hungry souls. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you all.